From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Mark Report. It's the 30th day of July, 2009. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group out of Decatur, Illinois. Your Director of Agricultural Programming at Illinois Public Media, Dave Dickey, will be here with all the agricultural news for the day. And then I'll take you through the CWT program. It's been working to balance milk supply and demand. And at the end of this half hour, meteorologist Peter Levitt is back. He'll join us after his trip from China to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast. And it all happens right here on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from L&M Commodities, a full-service brokerage company serving area farmers with professional market advice and crop insurance products. L&M Commodities has offices in New Market, Indiana, Leland, Illinois, and Terrell, Arkansas.
Taking a look at the numbers as they settled in Chicago on a Thursday afternoon, futures like this. In the wheat pit for the day, September contract at 516 and one quarter, up 4 3/4 on the afternoon. December at 543 3/4, up 4 3/4, as was the March at 562. From Kansas City, the hard red September at 549 1/2, 3 cents higher. September corn futures 332 1/4, 11 1/2 cents higher. December futures at 342 1/4. Up 14 1/4, and the March contract at $3.55, up 14 1/2. May futures at $3.64 1/2, up 14 1/2. July 2010 at $3.73 1/4, up 14 1/2 cents. The August soybean futures $11.28 1/4, up 70 3/4 cents. September at $10.29, up 65. November beans at $9.71 a bushel, 55 cents higher. And the January at $9.74 1/2, up 54 3/4. March 2010 soybeans at $9.74 3/4, up 53 3/4. August soybean meal at $3.55.80, $17.30 higher. August soybean oil at $34.93, up $1.86. August live cattle futures $84.57 1/2, 62 1/2 higher. October there at $89.85, up 60. August feeders at $102.12 1/2, 10 cents higher. And the August lean hog futures from Chicago, this is the only loser for the day, down $2.12 1/2 at $54.62 1/2. You are listening to the Closing Market Report. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Ethanol futures at $1.60 1/2, a settlement price up 1 1/10. Natural gas at $3.73 2/10, up 18 4/10 of a cent. The RBOB gasoline at $1.99 4/10, up 13 9/10, and the crude oil futures at $66.92 a barrel, $3.57 higher. August propane futures at $76.07, down 3 8/10, and the gold at $934.90, up $7.70. The Dow Jones Industrial Average now stands at 92.19, that's 9,218. It's up just about 148 points for the day, and the dollar at 79.28 is down 0.35. The CRB index at 252.79 stands 0.88 higher on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast for the two-state region looks like. From our own Mike Sola, he says tonight in western Illinois, should be clearing. In southern Illinois and in northern Indiana, mostly cloudy. A few showers there, mainly early this evening. In southeastern Indiana, lingering showers, a few thunderstorms. Elsewhere, mostly cloudy. Lows will range from 53 in northwestern Illinois to 66 in southern Indiana, says Mr. Sola. And then tomorrow, partly to mostly sunny skies. Highs will range from around 75 in northern Indiana to 86 in southern Illinois. Scattered showers and thunderstorms should return to the two-state area this weekend as another spoke of energy will rotate through the Midwest. Most areas, says Mr. Sola, will see precip, although amounts expected to be light. There have been little concern about dryness this summer, but eastern Indiana could experience some minor crop stress if rainfall is minimal this weekend and a surge of hot and dry weather develops. More on the agricultural weather when we talk with Peter Levitt at the bottom of the hour right here from Illinois Public Media and WILL.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Support for WILL comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks by developing dynamic strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is at stuart-peterson.com.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report from Illinois Public Media, and on the phone with us a Thursday afternoon is Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group out of Decatur, Illinois. Good afternoon, Dan.
Good afternoon, Todd.
I take it you're safely pulled over to the side of the road today. And
yes, I am.
You're where? In Indiana someplace?
I'm in Logansport. I got a speaking engagement here later this evening.
Well, who are you talking to? Do you remember?
It's Chamber of Commerce. It's kind of like the Ag Console part of Chamber of Commerce. So it's kind of a joint group that I'll be visiting with about agriculture and the prospects of, you know, commodity prices for farmers over the next few months.
Well, I guess you'll have some really pretty good-sized recent news to talk about with a big jump in soybeans today. China was in the marketplace for 1.9 million metric tons. Do you have any good reasons why?
Well, they've been a steady buyer. I think just today, you know, it just kind of came all to a head that you've got the August contract going into expiration. Old crop inventories are very hard to come by. So you do have the delivery process in a way beginning to work here. So the shorts or the longs are going to stand for delivery and the shorts are covering. And that is what kind of exploded the soybeans higher here, because cash inventories are real difficult to find. That hasn't been a secret. I mean, that showed up in the tight balance sheet projections for some time, but it's kind of coming to a head here. We're getting toward the end of the marketing year. New crop inventories are several weeks away. And so what we have here is exporters wanting to get their hands on cash inventory levels to meet some of those China sales that's been put on the books.
It explains the August and the September move. Does it also explain the back months, November and on out, being up 50 to 40 cents?
Well, it all follows. You got to keep in mind that competition from South America is very minimal after their big fall off in Argentina, their supplies. So South America is really not much of a competitor at the moment, and they're not really going to have any good inventories to move into the world channels until next spring. So it's kind of a U.S. Supply demand-driven market in a way, is that anybody that wants to buy soybeans pretty much have to come to the United States, because we do have some old crop beans around, and we've got a big new crop coming at us. So it kind of looks like the U.S. is going to be the major player in supplying the world appetite for soybeans, at least going into the fall months, and we'll see what happens from that point forward.
I'm sure that farmers, especially with old crop, will be asking themselves, if they've got old crop left, is this the place I want to sell? But secondarily, they might be asking a much tougher question, which is, with the price of November soybeans approaching $10 at $9.71, is this a place to market new crop soybean as well?
Well, I think you have to, you know, kind of sit back and look at the big picture. And, you know, when you start beginning to talk about 950 cash to maybe 1050 cash, soybeans out of the field, those look very appetizing as far as, you know, covering expenses and maybe making some profit. Especially, you know, when you're starting to play at these levels, $10, give or take a dollar, just about anything could happen. And the market can get quite volatile. So, you know, I would encourage farmers to take a good look at those price levels, and then they have to determine what kind of risk they want to have. I think longer term, something that caught my eye yesterday, now it didn't follow through here today, is the dollar was very strong yesterday, posted one of its strongest up sessions in some time. Chart-wise, it looks like it could be carving out a double bottom. Now, I know the dollar was down a little bit here today, but if we begin to see some follow-through to the upside on the dollar and we begin to validate maybe a double bottom in the dollar index, that would have a tendency to put some pressure on commodities. So I'd be a little concerned with that. As far as economically what would cause that, there's probably a million different takes on that. But it does look like the dollar might be getting in position to be somewhat stronger than what people have been kind of used to here and expecting here over the past couple months. And that could be a price dampening impact on commodity price strength as we go down the road here a little ways.
And speaking of dampening impact, when you look at the corn market today, while it managed to gain 14 and a quarter cents in the December contract, that was fairly paltry, I suppose, compared to what November beans did at 55 higher. Are you concerned that the corn market has much more potential to the downside?
Well, the key, I think, from what technicians are looking at is that chart gap that was left here back in early July between 353 and 358, somewhere in that range. I think technicians would say if December corn futures has enough muscle to go on up and fill in that gap area on this rally, I think that would remove a lot of the downside price objectives that technicians kind of have in play. So I think it's real critical here from a technical perspective to kind of fill those gaps. And then I think that would kind of remove at least some of these big bearish numbers on the downside and begin to kind of imply that maybe this crop might not be quite as big as everybody thinks. I mean, it's the markets have a tendency to talk in extremes, and over the past week or two and even today, I mean, their expectations for a big corn yield are definitely being worked into the marketplace. And I think today kind of showed you that the big up move in corn kind of forced some of those guys to cover their shorts, and you will kind of go from there. But that's something I think technicians are going to be looking at. If we can go back above this 355 or 360 area, I do think that begins to solidify this 320 area and above as good value for corn.
Do you have a time frame at which you'd like to see that happen? I mean, cyclically, does it show up someplace that you really would like it to happen before harvest, somewhere in your cycles, or somewhere in the midst of harvest before 50% of the crop is in? What do you think?
Well, yes, from some of my cycle work, not the simple 10 week cycle. There's other cyclical patterns that I look at. This is a place for both corn and soybeans and wheat. They have a good shot at putting in a meaningful low. Now, if you can't get the job done here, then you've got to look toward maybe down the road a month or two. But there's a shot here that you could put in some important lows. So it's got my attention to watch for some price action, and I think that's one hurdle that corn needs to do, that it needs to climb on up in above this 360 on D's corn, then I think it begins to solidify that maybe we've seen the worst of the downward price spiral, at least for now, until the market begins to get a little more comfortable with supply demand. So I would say if you want to be a bull, the sooner the better we close that, the better chances we have for a rally. Now, if you're on the bear side of the equation, you know, you don't really want to see that gap filled. But I think, you know, it's going to be maybe hard to fill it before the August crop report unless somebody comes in with some low private estimates here. I don't know when the string of private estimates are going to start, but my guess next week sometime we're going to start hearing some private estimates, and then we'll have to see how the market reacts to it. But and then, of course, you know, the trade is expecting some downward adjustment in acreage. To what extent, I don't think anybody really has a good idea on that. From a technical point of view, the quicker we fill that gap, I think the better or the more solid the corn market becomes as we go into fall.
Any final word from it before I let you go for the afternoon?
That's about all I have.
All right, thank you.
You're welcome.
And have a good time tonight.
Sure will.
Dan Zwickers with ADM Grain Group out of Decatur, Illinois, joins us here on the Closing Mark Report. Happens each and every Thursday afternoon.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Lernard Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products, including Asgrow's new Roundup Ready 2-yield soybeans. Lernard Seed Service provides services to help customers in East Central Illinois maximize profits. 217-497-2270.
Now, if you're interested in hearing what Dan had to say again, you can always do that on our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org. There we post this program and other programming in its entirety for you to listen to directly from the website. Sign up to have it delivered to your computer automatically as a podcast. Or if you can't get to the radio to listen to us or the website at willag.org to hear it, you can always hear a small portion of it on our phone lines at 217-333-3434. We update those at 9:15, rather at 10:15 and 3:15 daily. Dave Dickey, the Director of Agricultural Programming at Illinois Public Media, is here now with today's agricultural news.
In agricultural news, Missouri researchers have launched a new effort in their fight against worldwide hunger, bringing together a doctor who has long treated the malnourished with plant scientists working to improve the nutritional content of food. Three internationally known organizations based in St. Louis, the Donald Danforth Plant Science Center, the Washington University School of Medicine, and St. Louis Children's Hospital have formed the Global Harvest Alliance. The partnership's aim is to create inexpensive, nutritionally complete food to help the world's hungry and undernourished. The United States and China have signed a Memorandum of Understanding that commits both countries to cooperate on combating climate change. The signing came this week on the second day of a strategic and economic dialogue between the two countries. The U.S. and China are among the world's largest emitters of greenhouse gases. The analysts say the memorandum is sufficiently vague as to have virtually no effect on those who worry about China's emissions policies. Farmers in Argentina, a leading corn exporter, say government policies and a lingering drought mean they don't know if they will break even, and many are scaling back their corn sowing plans. Corn sowing starts in September. Some analysts expect the area dedicated to corn to shrink by as much as a third. Worries about prices at harvest will compound farmer concerns about persistent drought, which squeezed the 2009-2010 wheat area to its smallest level since records began. Argentina's farmers planted 3.5 million hectares with corn last season. And Kellogg says its profit rose 13% in the second quarter, though sales of its popular cereal and snack products fell, boosted by higher prices and cost cuts. The Michigan-based company says its profit rose to $353 million, or 92 cents per share, from $312 million, or 82 cents per share last year. Revenue fell 3% to $3.23 billion from $3.34 billion last year. Kellogg says it now expects earnings per share to grow 8 to 10% in 2009 from earlier guidance of a high single-digit growth. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. That's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week. Both of the programs you can hear on our website at willag.org. That's willag.org. Now up next, you know, the dairy industry, which just over a year ago was living the high life, has fallen hard and fast. And as you'll hear, it's simply too much milk in the supply chain that has caused the problems, and dairy farmers are working quickly to remedy that problem. CWT stands for Cooperatives Working Together. It's also the abbreviation of hundredweight, or 100 pounds, which happens to be the way milk is sold on the farm. And on the farm today, milk isn't worth but about 40% of what it was at this time last year. There is simply too much of it around, and the industry's working feverishly to fix that problem. CWT, Cooperatives Working Together, is a program designed exclusively by America's dairy farmers for the benefit of dairy farmers. CWT is designed to reduce milk production and increase demand for dairy products. One of the ways it does this is by retiring dairy cows. CWT will pay a dairy farmer to take cows out of production permanently. It just retired 102,898 cows, says University of Illinois Extension dairy specialist Mike Hutchins.
Illinois had six farmers who participated in them, very good farmers, but they saw it as a business decision. Out in California and Idaho, it's not a decision. The banks are saying you're out. They're not going to extend the credit lines, and they have to get out. And it's a bad situation because cows have dropped in value in half. Cows used to be worth $2,200. $1,200, you can buy probably as many cows as you want in the United States right now for that price. Heifers used to be $2,000. They're down around $1,100 from that aspect.
So the CWT has started at the process of cutting domestic milk supplies. This 100,000 cow round won't be enough, and another 300,000 must go, says Illinois Hutchins, before the bloodletting in the industry subsides.
So there's still some bloodletting going on, and the really big problems are on the West Coast. These are huge farms, 2,000, 3,000 farms. A lot of them don't have land bases for equity, and they're losing even more money because their milk price is a dollar and a half lower than our milk price, and their feed costs are up about a dollar per hundredweight. So they are really getting squeezed, and it's a no-win situation. I mean, what are you going to do? Cows have dropped in value in half. Nobody wants to buy cows. Bankers want to get their equity or try to recoup some of their lost dollars, and those getting out are just losing lots of money. Those who can't get out, they're losing $100 per cow per month. Bad situation.
Better in Illinois because the dairies are smaller, 106 cows on average instead of, say, a couple of thousand, and diversified. Most Illinois dairies also include a land base where row crops and forages are grown. It helps, but doesn't really make that $100 per month per cow loss go away. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report from Illinois Public Media. In just 2 minutes, we'll talk with meteorologist Peter Levitt about the agricultural weather. Stay with us.
It's National Cheesecake Day. It's also St. Abdon's Day, patron of barrel makers. The Romans used barrels as early as the 3rd century A.D. By the mid-20th century, barrels had largely lost their appeal, except for the aging of spirits, including wine and whiskey. On this day in agricultural history in 1739, Caspar Wiskar founded the first successful large-scale glass factory in the U.S. Much of his trade was with the production of wine bottles. In 1838, it supposedly rained frogs in London. In 1849, Jacob Perkins died. Perkins was issued the first U.S. patent for a refrigerating machine. It used sulfuric ether compression. Perkins also produced the first nails, which were both cut and headed by machine in America. He also patented a hot air furnace. In 1898, cornflakes were invented by William Kellogg, 4 years after he and his brother John Harvey accidentally invented a flaked cereal process based on wheat. In 1906, the brothers founded the Battle Creek Toasted Cornflake Company, which is known today as Kellogg's. And that's This Day in Agricultural History.
Listening to the Closing Mark Report from Illinois Public Media on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. I'm Todd Gleason. On the line with us today is Peter Levitt, fresh off his trip to China to take up the agricultural weather forecast. Good afternoon to you, Pete.
Good afternoon, Todd.
First, how was 3 weeks in China?
Well, it was grueling in the sense that we were going from dawn to dusk, but it was a wonderful time. And the biggest problem we had is one of the reasons for going was a total eclipse, and most of the path of the eclipse across China was covered by clouds. So only a few lucky people got to see it, and I hate to say we were not among them.
I have to say it, but you probably knew the risk when you went that you might have a cloudy day. I was expecting
you. Oh, definitely. This was among the poorest probabilities of any of the eclipses we've gone to in many years.
Oh, it's fun to travel nonetheless. Tell me about what's been happening here in the Midwest, the cool weather. Once you've gotten back, you got into the swing of things. How do you view it at this point? You like to use persistence often as a term.
Yeah, well, it's been remarkably persistent, as a matter of fact. And it will persist into the first week of August, or at least a few days into August. The remainder of August, it would be extremely unusual to have 3 summer months below normal, as we've had this year. As a matter of fact, the June-July combination is among the coldest of record. I don't know where it sits in the records. We'll know that in a day or two. But it's right up there with the coldest ones, or right down there, perhaps. August looks to be a cool start, a mild middle, and maybe a cool end, and that's going to be a problem area. The thing to notice now is the slow accumulation of growing degree days. Parts of the Midwest are running, northern half is running about 2,000 growing degree days behind normal. That's an awful lot of GDDs to try to catch up with as the sun gets lower in the sky late in August and September. Late, we may have a problem here.
Well, despite that fact, that in the northern belt, they had an awfully good start in Iowa, Minnesota, and in Nebraska. Will the early planting season help make up for part of that loss?
Yes, it will, and that's where it's looking the best, is in Iowa and extreme southern Minnesota and down into Missouri and eastern Nebraska. But when you see silking progress in Illinois, 50% behind normal for this time of year, 40% behind, 53 against 93%. That's a warning sign, and it's similar in Indiana and Wisconsin and parts of Minnesota. So this is something to look at, not to worry too much about, but don't let it out of your sight.
All right. Other things that you've been watching around the globe in terms of weather?
Well, of course, you know, the Texas drought everybody knows about, but Texas is the only state showing areas of severe or extreme drought, and that's probably localized. It's bad for Texans, but the whole agricultural areas aren't involved. In China, we saw an awful lot of corn planted and not as many beans as I expected to see. And maybe that's why they just made a big purchase of beans today.
Well, that may be a very good reason why they purchased 1.9 million metric tons. Thanks for that little tidbit. We appreciate you being with us today, and we'll talk with you again next week.
My pleasure.
That's Pete Levitt. He's an agricultural meteorologist, fresh off his trip from China. We'll talk with him again next week. Thanks for listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.